Hey, everybody. I'm here with Connie, who is a friend, right? We're friends, I think.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. We've had breakfast a few times.
Yeah.
You, me, and Josh. And I think we met for the first time probably 5 years ago.
I would say five, yeah.
I think, did we meet in LA or did I meet you before LA?
I would say maybe before in Ohio, right?
Yeah, maybe. I can't remember.
My
memories of you start in LA, I think. Just really? Flying out that.
Wait, you know what? It was LA. It was, I think, the first year I moved here. You were here maybe for work, and we went to some random concert called School Night.
Yeah.
And
Chad Valley played. That was awesome.
That was so long ago.
That was a really fun night. That was like good for my soul.
Yeah.
It was awesome. So how do you answer the question, what's your thing and how did you find it?
Yeah. I feel like that's a hard question to answer, but the best way that I can answer it is, my thing is, I would say just in general fashion, specifically, kind of like personal styling is my main passion. And as of lately, I've been into costume design and wardrobe on set of TV and film.
Oh, my gosh. How'd that come about?
I feel like it's been a long road to get here, but it's happening and it's crazy. How far do I want to go back?
Well, yeah, let's go back. Like, where did you grow up?
Grew up in Ohio. I was born in Florida, but grew up in Ohio, Bowling Green specifically. Was there until about the fourth grade, and then I moved to Toledo, Ohio. So still stayed in Ohio until after high school. And then I went on to study photojournalism, kind of just because I felt like I that was my main thing that I did at the time, photography. And I didn't really know what I wanted to do, to be honest. I felt like everybody kind of had like their clear path. And I was like, well, I know I want it to be creative. Like, there was no doubt about that. Mm. But I didn't know what. But my main reason for going into that was because I thought maybe someday I could be a fashion photographer specifically. Like, I wanted to always be a part of, like, the production side of fashion, creating images. And that I knew. But as you can see, I'm not doing that. But, yeah, I grew up in Ohio, stayed there for a while. Always kind of knew that I wanted to leave, not in a negative way. I just felt like I could only go so far creatively in Ohio.
Yeah. That's like the first time I've heard that. I wanted to leave, not in a negative way.
No, it was honestly Ohio. Every time I go back, I feel like it's a big part of me. All my family's there, you know. I don't have a big family, but everybody's there. And I love seeing old friends, and it's a charming place. It's a good place to grow up, to be honest. Yeah. I feel like it really kind of shaped me into who I am.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah. I feel like, especially after moving to LA, I realized, you know, how different everybody is, and everybody's different because of their background and where they kind of come from and the environment they were raised in. So I'm happy to be from there.
That I love that idea. The idea that the place we live is the most consistent thing, and so it winds up shaping you more than you have any awareness of at the time. It's really
totally
incredible.
Yeah.
And then what year did you move out to LA?
So I moved to LA in 2012. So it's been a while. It's been 6 years, which is insane.
Wow.
Yeah. My mom was not happy about the move.
That's amazing. And then when you moved out there, so it was Ohio, the creative, you said that the kind of the limits, I guess, weren't going to allow you to do the things that you wanted to do. So,
right.
So then LA, because LA is the capital of creativity, or like what actually pulled you that direction?
Yeah. I mean, you know, you can go a lot of places in the world where you that allow you to be creative, but I feel like LA, the main draw for me was that, you know, a lot of production happens here and there are a lot of like headquarters for fashion companies and brands, which is kind of what I transferred out here doing. I was just working, doing like corporate retail merchandising for Forever 21, which I'm sure, you know, everybody's familiar with.
Yeah.
So that's, I feel like the retail world is kind of how I got into just styling and putting together pieces and really like building those relationships with people, that, you know, really needed help to pick out things that they wanted to wear. So it kind of started at the very kind of, in my eyes, kind of like the lowest level that you can, you know, I'm getting paid, you know, from a brand to dress people, but I really enjoyed it, to be honest with you. I loved it. I didn't think of it as retail, which, you know, when someone says they work retail, they're like, I work retail, and they're like, surprise. But I loved it, and I stuck with it for many years, and that's what transferred me out here to LA with. So it brought me here.
Wow. Yeah, that idea of anybody who works in retail never talks about it as passionately as you just did. So like other people would say, like, I work at Forever 21, you know what I do, you know, I hang clothes and I make sure displays are great. But that whole idea of I help people dress well, that's awesome. Is this why Josh always looks good, or did that come naturally?
You know, I get asked that all the time. I'm here to take full credit for Josh's
That's awesome.
Josh is styling. He does not shop. He doesn't dress himself. He's got me for that. So
that's amazing. That's really cool.
I mean, he's like my life size, like Barbie, I guess. Kendall.
Kendall. That's amazing. So you work Forever 21. Am I getting, maybe that's the place that I was thinking. I thought for a bit you were working at H&M, or was that a different?
No, I was Forever 21, and then I worked for Urban Outfitters for a while at a really cool location here. They do like a lot of concerts and pop-up shops. It's like a very happening little area. It's in Hollywood. I worked for, Forever 21, Urban, and then a resale shop called Crossroads, and then I kind of found my way out of retail after that.
Mm.
Yeah.
And then where'd you go after retail?
So after retail, I started doing retail kind of half time so that I could devote my other time to just freelance like styling jobs. Got more into e-commerce and in studio styling, so photo shoots. You know what you see online when you go to H&M.com or Nordstrom.com, you see photos of, you know, head to toe styling for just like one piece. So say you wanted to buy a sweater, but they show it in a way where it displays kind of how you can wear it as a whole.
Yeah. So with a context of clothing.
Exactly.
Okay.
So, you know, it's all a way to sell clothing, but it's really, there's a science behind it, and there's a reason why people are drawn to certain pieces and why maybe they click on, you know, one jacket out of six that are being displayed on their screen. So I was doing that for a while.
Wow.
Became an e-commerce stylist, kind of oversaw all of the casting of the models, everything that got done from the start to the end of the photo shoot. That was all in my control. And yeah.
And you said you did that freelance?
So I did that freelance, and then I also did it full time for a little bit for a company out here in LA. And I just found that I again felt kind of limited, and I felt like there was like a cap on my creativeness that I was always like reaching, and I didn't love it, to be honest with you. I felt like I could be doing more. It was a little boring to me, in other words.
Okay. Yeah. So then you did that, and then what are you doing now? Or are we to now yet?
No. So we're almost to now. E-commerce styling for a while for a few different companies. And then I now am working on a TV show, and I'm not able to say the name of the show, but okay. It's a big one on a major network that
awesome.
I would say most people are pretty familiar with because it's got quite a few seasons, but it's very fresh for me, and it just started. I lose track of time. It's October already. That's crazy. It started last month. So So yeah, I'm moving on to TV and film, and it's all very new to me, and it's a very different world to be. Okay. Yeah.
So when you say, hey, I am getting a little bit of echo. I don't know if it's going to work, if you can turn me down or put in some headphones, but is that an option?
Yeah. I'm turning it down. Does that help or no?
Check. It does help. Can you still hear me though?
I can, yeah.
Okay, cool. Okay. All right, so TV show, and you're doing wardrobe on it?
Yeah, costume. I would say in TV and film, they go by costume and costume design because you're kind of creating a character rather than, you know, wardrobe stylist is someone that is more of like, more focused on the person and consulting. And costume design is you're creating looks for a character in a show or a movie or whatever it may be.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Wow. So what does a day look like in that? Like, what was work like today?
So today, every day, so we're in the what we call prep weeks before we start shooting. We actually start shooting this Friday. But in the prep weeks, you're kind of a lot of fittings. And a lot of running around and shopping for various characters. Today for me, it was a lot of errands, and I'm just going to tell you one part of it because I thought it was kind of my most interesting part of my day. I had to take certain. So there's a guy that plays a carpenter in the TV show, not like a main character or anything, but someone that we definitely want to look the part, right?
Yeah.
So he imagine he's wearing like Carhartt pants, like kind of like those khaki work pants, and like a t-shirt and a plaid, like kind of flannel jacket. And we want him to look like he's, you know, a carpenter, an everyday like working man who is definitely like lived in his pants. You know what I mean? Like, so obviously we're buying these pieces new. And I had to take the pieces that we're going to dress him in to a place in LA. Sorry, that's my dog.
My dog. It's all good. What's the dog's name again?
Luna.
Luna. I love Luna Instagram stories. They're great.
Yeah. She's a cutie. She's a cool dog. But anyways, I took these places to a place in LA, and what they're doing, what they call stonewashing. So imagine like these giant industrial washing machines where there's actual stones that they put in with the wash to make it look super worn and kind of faded. Lots of miscellaneous things like that, all those details, you know, when you're watching a show and you're like, wow, that character really looks like a carpenter or a construction worker, that, you know, there's a lot of people behind that, even though it maybe looks very simple, you know, on the TV screen.
Right, right. So like this one character not only had to be designed in someone's brain just as a character, but now there's a whole team of people distressing his clothing.
Right.
That's so cool.
What's happening.
and then in the TV show, you just kind of, it's like, it's a contextual piece. That's, and wow, that's amazing. Yeah. But it kind of lights you up, and you're loving it right now?
I'm loving it. Yeah, it's really great when I tell people, they're asking me, I meet up with a friend that I haven't seen in a while, and they're asking me what's up, what's new. You know, I feel like the go-to is to talk about what you're doing on an everyday basis, and usually that's work. And for me, it's really crazy to say that I'm working on a TV show, like a major one. And I feel super fortunate to be where I am, and I feel like every little job that I've had leading up until now is finally paying off.
Man, that is so cool. Really, congrats on that. That's amazing.
Thank you so much. I'm happy.
What does, you use the phrase personal styling. Is that kind of connected to just the way you were thinking about retail and the work in that space?
I would say yes and no. Personal styling, I feel like, is something that I've always been doing for friends and for family. And
okay.
I think it's something that people reach out to me to help them with in general all the time.
Because that was my next question. So do people ask you how to wear clothes?
All the time. That's and funny. I love it. I honestly, it's like the highest form of flattery to me to think that these people are like, you know, text messaging me, asking me if something would look good on them or if this is in style or how they should wear it. I love it.
Oh my gosh, that's cool. So do you have any, my homeschooled camo wearing, you know, upbringing, that was the edge of my style for a while. What are the rules of styling or like the basics that I should be thinking about?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people think of style in that way. Like there are certain ways to wear things or I should or should not be wearing this because it's, you know, not in style or right. Doesn't fit my body type. Or there's just so many reasons why people think maybe there are these fashion rules. But, I mean, there's definitely, like, you know, certain ways to wear things. But I think it's more so personal style and how you wear it that's most important. So I feel like I'm straying off the question a little bit.
No, that's fine. So I think I might be able to ask a better question. So going, your friend gives you a call and says, "Hey, I need some help." what's your process at that point of going like, did they usually give you more context than that? Here's the shirt I like, or is there, do you ever get the, nothing works right now.
Yeah. I get all of the above. I mean, a lot of the times people will reach out to me when they have like a specific thing that they're going to do. Yeah. Or an event. And they're like, you know, this is what I was thinking. Actually, I have a great example. My best friend back home, Natalie, she is recently married and she had an engagement like photo shoot session. And even though, you know, we're 3,000 miles apart, I was able to completely kind of personal style her through photos and through FaceTime. And I kind of picked out pieces for her that I knew she would feel comfortable in, but also would, you know, resonate really well in photos, because that's something that a lot of people don't think about, like what looks good in certain lights or on maybe in in pictures and stuff like that. But just using her as an example, she had a specific thing that she wanted me to dress her for. And she didn't really, she's the type of girl that hates shopping, hates trying things on. She's always been that way. and I feel like a lot of people are that way because they get frustrated because they don't really know, you know, where to start.
Yeah.
Or even once they feel like they know what they want, they can't find what they want. And then they get frustrated for that. So that's why I feel like a lot of people reach out to me. And another recent example is my friend Zach. He lives in Chicago, super cold there.
Mm-hmm.
And he is shopping for a new coat. I'll use the word trendy, like a trendy leather jacket. And then he also wants a functioning warm jacket.
Because the Midwest, right.
Because it's freezing there, yeah. But he was kind of reaching out to me and telling me what he liked, but I kind of gave him, you know, feedback on what I knew would work well on his body type, which is something that I feel a lot of people struggle with. They like a certain style, but not every style is for every body type, you know?
Right. Yeah, I do that all the time. Like, that mannequin looks really good on that. It'll definitely, nope, never mind. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you look at something and you want it to look a certain way on you, but that's unfortunately not usually the case. And that I feel like is like the science and the art behind styling. It's, you know, finding pieces that work for you and that work well for you. And then, you know, you feel good in those pieces. So
yeah,
it's all for a reason.
When did you really start going like, I really like this styling thing and I want to make a career out of it? I mean, there's obviously the retail and it led to that, but were there any moments where you're like, oh, I've got a knack for this?
Yeah. I guess people reaching out to me over and over and over again over time and over the years, it really kind of just was clear to me that like I had a skill or a talent that people kind of really, you know, noticed and it kind of admired and trusted. That's important to me because people would not be asking me my opinion on, you know, what they should wear, what, you know, what kind of jeans they should wear if they didn't really believe that I would give them a good answer and an honest answer. Yeah. So I think that's kind of what kind of, you know, flipped the switch in me. And I was like, this could be something that I could actually have as a job or like, you know, turn into a profession rather than just this is my advice, you know, take it or leave it. But I kind of saw it as something that I could, yeah, kind of translate all of my previous work experience really like smoothly and well into just kind of styling in general.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Dang. That's really fun. I love watching your Instagram and seeing the stuff that you, because you're posting some of your work up there as well.
Yeah, I would say when I was in studio doing e-commerce, I was posting a lot more because I had these photo shoots, you know, 2 to 3 times a week where I'd be creating these looks and they'd be live on models. So now I feel like I'm a little less, but everything that I actually post, I would say is usually, you know, motivation or inspiration for, fashion in some way. 'Cause I feel, especially living in LA, we're surrounded by so many creative people and so many different personalities that it all kind of is inspiration to me.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Just connecting dots wherever you can on that stuff, man.
Totally.
Were you, when you were doing the e-commerce, so was it just strictly like, here's the pieces I want to do, here's my model, or were you doing the photography and the set design and what all?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I was in charge of finding the photographer. I wasn't the one actually taking the photos, thank God, because I had too many other things to do. So I would create the looks. I would say I would have a rack of like 100 what we call samples, just individual pieces. I would create the looks and put pieces together out of that rack of say 100 pieces.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the process for that. And then I would create also kind of the aesthetic and the set as well. So we would have, let's say like during summer, you know, it basically based on seasons and what's happening in the seasons, we would create little like fun lookbooks. And I was pretty much the creative director of all of that. So that was also, you know, something that really interests me and something that I felt like I excelled in as well.
That's really cool. I love.
Yeah.
It's so fun.
Yeah. Lots of ways to be creative in styling. It's not just, you know, picking out clothes and seeing what works.
Yeah. Oh man, that's cool. Okay. Then let's jump into, I'm trying this question out more lately. So from a kind of an internal sense of who you are, what are kind of the big formative moments for you? Are there a memory or three that you go like, hey, I was this person and then this thing happened and now I'm this person? Just to, you know, totally dive into sharing things.
This question I felt like when I read previously, I was like, I don't know if I have what, I had to think about it. Oh, I didn't have like an answer right away, you know?
Oh, totally. When I hosted an event where I asked that question to a group of people, me totally not knowing what I was going to say. Once I heard other people's, it triggered all the memories. So it was like, oh yeah. Okay. This helps. So submitting others to not having that benefit.
Yeah, I would say there's been a few moments in my life or, you know, memories that have definitely made me into who I am today. I would say the earliest, let's just go with that, earliest memory that I have and just kind of growing up, some people may know this about me, some people may not, but I was raised by a single mom. So in a lot of ways, I think that kind of shaped me into who I am. I mean, it definitely did shape me into who I am today. I feel like growing up, I was always kind of making, you know, decisions, and I think it's resulted in me being pretty level-headed and confident and just kind of able to make, you know, choices and feel comfortable in doing that. So, yeah, my mom, you know, she did a great job, and I feel like that definitely has shaped me into being like an empathetic person and just someone that I feel like I really am able to like listen to people. And I definitely certain qualities have shined through as a result of that, I would say.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah. And I just so much respect for all the single, you know, moms out there, because it's, I feel like, probably the hardest job that you could ever have.
Oh my goodness, yeah. Totally. Single mom friends are intense.
Yeah, I mean, they have to be, right?
Yeah, it's a good, beautiful intensity.
Definitely, yeah. Kind of forces, I feel, you to be, you know, you don't really have a choice of making decisions either. I don't know. Yeah, I think it makes you a great person. I respect it.
Wow, that's cool. Yeah. Any other big moments to get a sense of who you are?
Yeah, and I would say it's not necessarily, I mean, what's come out of it is positive, but one of my lowest points I like to talk about, because I think it definitely kind of like lit a fire in me and made me the person I am now as of recently. I've been fired from a job.
Oh, yeah.
And it's something that I'm choosing to talk about, because I feel like everybody should be fired from a job, honestly. I think it made me really kind of like take a step back and realize that maybe things don't always happen the way you want them to. And also maybe you're not always doing what you should be doing. And it's a way of, you know, the universe telling you that maybe take a different path or think about things differently or do things differently, because you should never be too comfortable in any role, no matter how big or small it is, in my opinion. And I feel like when I did lose my job, it was with a fashion company out here. And basically the reasoning behind me losing my job, just for the record.
That's right.
it was a very small clothing company owned by two sisters. And they basically just said that they felt the need to downsize and that my role was not as necessary as they thought it was when they hired me. So it was a short-lived job. But to me, even though I was not there very long, I was like, I remember the day it happened, I was like, I just got fired. What am I going to do?
Oh,
like,
gosh.
It was like panic mode. Yeah. And I remember thinking that it was also maybe a blessing in disguise. Like, instantly, I felt like, I think I wasn't supposed to be there, and I think I'm supposed to be doing something different. And that's really when I made like a big leap into the freelance world and the opportunities that have come to me since I quit working for brands is crazy. It's something that I, you know, would have never happened to me if I maybe didn't lose my job that day and didn't continue to work for brand after brand doing, you know, pretty similar jobs that are definitely limited, you know?
Right. Get used to the routine and just stay in that for way too long.
Yeah, exactly.
So other than the day of, hey, surprise, you don't work here anymore. Mm-hmm. What were the next couple of weeks, or how long do you feel like it took you to go like, okay, here's where I'm headed?
Yeah, they were hard. I would say the next few weeks kind of turned into a few months, and it was definitely an all-time low for me. I kind of felt like I didn't have a clear direction. It's funny when you lose like your routine and your job, you take like the backseat in your own life, and you're like, "What? I'm not sure where I'm going today. You know, where is today going to take me?" So I remember always just thinking that I needed to fill my time in a positive way, even if every day I was just creating something like a macrame project or planning a new plant or just writing for a little bit, you know. It kind of it was kind of like a reset for me, honestly. I felt like I was able to take a step back from work and kind of figure out what I really wanted to do and what I felt like my time would be benefited from the most. So, yeah.
That's really cool. I love
it. Yeah.
You get to be in that space. Maybe not voluntarily, but.
Right. Definitely not voluntarily.
I got to do, what was it? It was a month or so ago. I did a no input or no output. So like no writing, no listening, no watching, no as much as possible.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I tried to do it for 48 hours. I made it to like 36 or something like that. But
how did you feel when you're doing that?
Oh, it's super interesting. But a lot of those same questions come up in that space where, you know,
yeah.
So much of life is so easy to like skip those questions because you just the routine. So like there's a beautiful thing about the routine that you can kind of build off of and go somewhere with. But then it was really interesting intentionally taking a break from that and filling it with just kind of thoughts that I couldn't even write down. And it was like, wow.
It's kind of crazy. You also kind of realize that it's strange to me that we don't allow our brains to kind of like to take a break sometimes.
No, we don't.
From what we think we should be doing or what really just consumes our time, which is usually work. But I think it's so important to have those moments or, you know, even if it's not a long time, even if it's just a little bit each day or each week that you set aside just for yourself. I think it's super important to just happiness in general.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Dang. You said writing in that space. Is writing something you do consistently or is that something that just like comes up when I kind of like I utilize it when things go weird, Harry starts to write.
I so wish I could say that it's something that I did consistently. I just have so many journals and so many, you know, notes, but I find myself writing either when I'm feeling down or when I have, you know, inspiration for an idea, maybe for like a short film or yeah, it's not something I do all the time, but I find that when I do it, I feel so much better to have it down on paper, to know that I can look back at it and just to kind of, it's so different just to think something and then to actually write something down. It's like kind of like the act of step one of acting on your thoughts. You know what I mean?
Yes, totally. Yep. I love that process so much. I so miss it. And this is like, oh yeah, I got to get back to that.
Yeah. I feel like when I was younger, also, I was a big advocate of journaling. Like I would buy my friends journals because I remember always thinking you should write down your thoughts. And I didn't know if it was like the obsession of being able to like look at it later or if I just felt like it was good, you know, for your soul. I don't know. Combination of things, I suppose.
Yes, totally. And then when you do look at those things from when you were 12,
yeah, you're like, what was I thinking?
In the world.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. You mentioned a short film as one of your creative ideas. Is that is there one? Is there 10 ideas? Is there?
The ideas for short films. I feel like Josh has really gotten me into that lately.
No worries. If you need to take a break, we can totally pause too if you need to.
No, she's totally fine. She just barks at dogs when they walk by. Okay, so sorry. What was the question one more time?
So going short film ideas or just ideas as you're writing. These short films are one thing that you've had ideas for, and you were just saying Josh has kind of helped you grab onto that as an outlet potentially.
Yeah. So he's watching him do what he does and watching his, you know, creative process go so well onto film. It's definitely made me realize that I have a lot of ideas that I would love to see in motion rather than just maybe in photos like I do regularly. I feel like film, you know, even if it's a short where there's no dialogue, they can be so touching. And I love watching fashion shorts too, and just like kind of little like fashion videos. And I definitely want to, I would say in my downtime, or maybe once I'm done with this TV show and I have more time, I would love to kind of create more videos. And Josh, I'm lucky because Josh, you know, he'd always be willing to help me out with that, and we can kind of collab on that. And I think that's amazing.
Yeah, he's got some skills there. It's amazing.
For sure. Yeah.
What's a fashion short?
So a fashion short, you can kind of think of it as, you know, big designers like Dior, they'll make like, you can kind of think of it as a long commercial almost, but not necessarily trying to sell, you know, a product. It's just, it's very visual, and it definitely makes you feel a certain way when you're watching it. And it kind of, you know, the focus is the fashion, but it definitely tells a story.
Oh yeah.
So
did Josh do one for jeans at one point?
You know, he definitely made a lot of video content for guests many years back. Yeah. So yeah, those are fashion shorts for sure.
Kind of the long form. There's a story here behind this article. And
totally. Yeah. So where I my ideas would definitely be like a little bit more abstract, and I probably wouldn't do dialogue. It would just be visuals, but
trying to get people to associate an emotion or something with the thing.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely.
Man, that's so flipping cool.
Yeah. So that's something that I'm looking forward to working on in the future for sure.
Yeah. Oh man, that's really cool. What about tensions? What are the tensions of your life that you find yourself hanging out in right now?
Tensions. It's funny you ask that, because I feel like lately I have been thinking about how like me, I am, you know, a hurdle. I feel like everybody has, you know, you have doubts about whether or not you can do something, or whether or not you have enough time, or really you can think of all the reasons why you shouldn't or can't do something. Lately, I've been feeling a little tension, I feel, in my own, you know, mind and body. I feel like I'm the only reason why I don't do something. Really, I hold myself accountable for that.
Yes.
Because no one's telling me I can't do this or that I don't have the time. It's just, I feel like I'm kind of good at talking myself out of things sometimes, and that's something that I want to work on. But it definitely creates tension within myself, I would say. It's kind of an odd answer, but
not at all. That is a very familiar tension.
Yeah.
When I look at my list of ideas, and then I look at the date that I had that idea on, and I go, wait, this was doable by now.
Yep. Yeah.
I opted out somehow. Yeah.
So
that's a huge tension.
I would say definitely. And I think it is for everybody. I think everybody can relate to that, honestly. And I mean, it just goes back to, you know, routines and schedules too, and creating that time for what we really want to do. And even if it's a little bit at a time, just kind of chipping away at those things is better than not doing it at all, in my, you know?
Yeah. 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 Okay. That's cool. Any other tensions you're finding yourself in? Lack of tension with the wedding.
Yes.
Or lack of stress. Maybe there's.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it'll hit me a few months before, but I'm weirdly calm about it. I don't know. I don't know. Everybody talks about it like the most stressful thing in the world, but I'm staying pretty calm about it for now.
As the person who has a lot of creative juices flowing, are you thinking about the wedding through that lens? Or what's the wedding going to look like in your mind?
Yeah, I would say that's what I think about the most. Like, I feel like a lot of girls are maybe say like their dress is the most important thing, or maybe like the venue. But I think about the vibe of it the most, and how people will feel when they're at the wedding. And those are like all those details that I want to be like, everything that I imagine, like that has to be that way, because that's the reason why we want to bring everybody together and united on that day. Because I want you know, everybody just to be able to celebrate and have a good time and kind of be in awe of the space that we've created. We have a really cool venue. I'm super excited about it because it's kind of just like a blank canvas that we can do whatever we want with.
Oh, that's super cool.
Yeah, I'm excited.
I love it. I love that. Weddings are so flipping fun.
I know, they really are. No matter how people go about them, they're always a good time.
Cool venue. Worried or thinking about the vibe.
That,
yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
How did, way back question, how did you and Josh meet?
Ooh, good question. A lot of people ask us that as of lately, since we're engaged now. A lot of people, when and how did you meet? We met at a show, actually, at Frankie's, a music venue in Toledo.
Yeah.
So we were really into this band called Inner Party System. Very kind of like electronic, very different for the time, I would say. And I want to say they're from Chicago. I may be wrong about that, but they were kind of local. So they played a lot of shows in Toledo. So I had seen them maybe like 3 or 4 times. And I remember Josh being at one of the shows in Toledo at Frankie's. And at the time we both, you know, I want to say he was too, but I definitely had a boyfriend at the time. And I'm pretty sure he had a girlfriend at the time. But I just always remember being like very fond of him, just like kind of how he carried himself. And I knew he was creative and I was attracted to him as well. And yeah, that's how we met. So music brought us together.
Oh, that's cool. That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Where is your project going to be at it in 6 months? People, I'm assuming, will probably be able to see it at some point.
Yeah, it definitely won't be done in 6 months because I would say we're wrapping shooting in about 6 months. So there's a lot of time in between of shooting and when it airs. But yeah, I mean, in 6 months we'll be wrapped with it. So that's a pretty big accomplishment. And then it'll be on to the next project for me. I'll probably have a little bit of time in between. Ideally, maybe go on like a mini vacation or something like that. But that's the beauty of it. I have no idea.
So how does that work? It's a seasonal show. So once shooting's done, you're kind of out of the mix for a little bit because your work is done there.
Exactly. So yeah, as a freelancer, you have these jobs for X amount of, you know, weeks or months or days. And then once they're done, you kind of reach out and network to find the next job. So it's definitely stressful.
So it's not like if they get re-upped for the next season, you're on automatically.
It's definitely not an automatic thing. I think if you have a good, you know, if you have a good relationship with the team and everybody that you work with, you'll most likely, you know, be brought on. And they'll keep you in mind for other projects that they're also working on. So it's all about networking. And yeah, I mean, if you do one job with, you know, 8 people, all those people know other, you know, production teams and people working on other projects, and everybody always needs help and everybody's always shooting TV and film in LA. So there's a lot of jobs out there, but it's definitely something that can be a little stressful if you don't know, you know, what's lined up next.
Yeah. So how do you think about putting the your touch on what you do in a way that gets them to go like, okay, this is great. This is a good fit, from a competency to chemistry to, you know, your character. What do you do to stick out in that space? Because I imagine there's competition for that kind of work, right?
Yeah, that is a great question, and it's very competitive. It took me, you know, about 5 years in LA to kind of get to where I am, because a lot of girls want to be stylists. Girls and guys want to be stylists and, you know, be a part of a production crew that's creating like what people all over the world are watching on TV. So it's super competitive, but to answer your question, you know, everybody, you know, a lot of people have good style and they know how to dress people. It's definitely not something that, you know, one in a thousand people can do. A lot of people have that skill and talent, but I would say personality, is so much of it and so important, because if someone remembers, you know, how you treated them or how comfortable you made them feel in a fitting or on, you know, every day that you see them on set, then they're most likely going to want to work with you again. You know what I mean? And that kind of goes with, I feel, everything job wise. If you're easy to work with, if you know what you're doing and you get the job done, but on top of that, you know, are a pleasure and people enjoy your company in the workplace, then I think that that's the best thing and definitely an upper hand in creating those relationships, and being brought back onto TV shows and whatever your project may be.
So I will ask this for Tim, since, you know, he's not here, but he's been, one of his goals this year is to figure out how to get people to be, to feel comfortable in front of him and his camera. Right. And he's really trying to do some more creative stuff that's asking people to be a little bit more vulnerable than, you know, hey, this is my grad shoot, or this is my wedding, which is a vulnerable, beautiful thing, but he's got some creative projects in mind, making people feel comfortable. For some people, I feel like that, right, there's personality there that just goes like, you're so warm, you're so open, and
yeah,
you're definitely one of those people, right? Like, it's like, this is so fun to talk to you. Every time we get to hang out, I'm like, man, the world is good. So like, can you quantify that at all? Like, how do you make someone feel comfortable as you're fitting them?
If you're asking in a sense of how I feel someone comfortable in the workplace, I feel like a lot of people tend to treat people when you're working, maybe not like an actual human. And my way of going about that is just, you know, asking them, how's your day? How are you feeling? Just kind of not, I don't want to call it small talk, because it's not small talk, because I actually care. But just like building that connection and like actually feeling like you are not just there to get a job done and kind of, you know, you're taking interest in the person, and it's more than just, you know, the human connection is super important. And unfortunately, I feel like not everybody is necessarily great at that, or I don't want to say maybe not great at it, but it just doesn't come naturally to a lot of people. But for me, I feel like I'll talk to anybody at any time. Like if I'm in an elevator, you know, people tend to look at their phones or just not make eye contact. I usually will try to talk to everybody that comes into an elevator.
You're one of those people.
I am one of those people.
That's awesome.
I know. I can be a bit annoying, but I often get told, Josh's brothers, they joke and they tell me that I literally never stop talking. But there's so much to talk about.
There is. You should like get into podcasting. It's
right. People just... No, I mean, when you told me you were doing this, I was so excited for you. I was like, that is great. And I've actually talked about it with other friends. One of my friends, Krista, we listen to a lot of podcasts, and we just always not necessarily think that we have interesting things to talk about, but we just enjoy talking. And I think it just comes from, you know, a place where I feel like there's always so much to talk about. And I find humans very fascinating, and I always want to talk to them.
That's amazing. I love that. I have that feeling. I'm still a little hesitant to the conversation in the elevator. I don't know how to make myself feel comfortable.
Yeah,
well,
it's definitely an awkward space, you know. It's you know, because you know it's temporary and you're gonna be walking out in a second. But it's just saying something small, or even sometimes maybe just a smile or eye contact. Like, to me, that's communicating as well. It's better than someone just avoiding you. When people do that, I get a little confused, and it definitely like puts, you know, and kind of like an aura into the air, and it doesn't make me feel, you know, warm or at all like I would want to be their friend.
Right.
So I just try to be friendly wherever I go. Even if I'm in a bad mood, I don't take that out on people, and I don't think that, you know, they deserve that either.
Right. So trying to treat people like human beings first. And
yeah, I mean, there's enough nasty in the world. Why not be positive, you know?
Oh, totally. Totally.
That's how I see it.
Side question. So what are like the good go-to podcasts you've been listening to?
So in the morning, I like listening to The Daily in the morning just because I feel like I need to know what's happening in the world.
Yes.
Previous podcasts that I've listened to, I feel like that's the main one I listen to right now. But previous ones, How I Built This is a great one. There's just so many talented people out there, and I love hearing their stories of how they came to, you know, do what they're doing. Kind of similar to the conversation we're having.
Right.
But that's like one of my go-to ones. I also like murder mystery ones a lot. I get a little lost in those.
Yep.
Like all the true crime ones.
Yeah. Have you done Case File?
What'd you say?
Have you done a listen to the Case File one?
Oh, I haven't. Should I?
Yeah, I'll send you a link to one. There was one that they did, and it's not like an Ohio podcast. It's across the nation, but they recently did one about someone who had been murdered here. It was really like bizarre.
Oh wow!
Yeah. I'm like,
okay, I'll check it out for sure. And then maybe two. Yeah, 99% Invisible, and my friend Reed actually got me into one called Dissect. And Dissect kind of breaks down albums, like they did like a Kanye West one, and it's always based on a different artist, but they dissect everything that went into the songs and the motivation behind albums and stuff like that. So podcasts are so great. It's such a positive way to fill your time, especially if you're in your car a lot.
Which I imagine you are.
I am, unfortunately.
Oh my gosh.
But sometimes music just doesn't do it, you know?
Right. It doesn't. I've been, until my friend recently came out with an album, I have not like grabbed new music to jam to in a really, really long time, because I'm just always, yeah. I want to listen to a podcast.
Yeah, it's definitely, I feel like in a way it's kind of an addiction. You just like, you get immersed in them and you kind of want to fill your time more and more with them.
And that was one of those, like, I need a break. I need to fill my head with nothing and see what lives in there.
Yeah.
Be crazy.
I love that.
What are you convinced of at this point in your life?
Ooh, I love that question. What am I convinced of? I am convinced of the fact that things don't happen on a timeline or when you may think that they're going to. And just that, you know, your expectation might not reach or match up to reality, but I'm convinced that if you allow yourself, you'll become, you know, the person that you're supposed to become, and that you are usually the only one that's holding yourself back from becoming that person. So fate in a way, I suppose.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
Do you have any insecurities that you're kind of working through right now, or that you feel like are holding you back, other than the myself? I'm holding you back.
That's a big one, right? Insecurities, let's see. I would say that's definitely the one that I mentioned earlier, is always on the forefront and kind of something that I'm forever working on and probably will always be working on. Yeah, I would say that's the main one for now. I feel content for the most part as of lately. But of course that comes in waves, you know.
So what happened, that was it this job that really created, hey, life's headed in an interesting direction, or what created the content feeling?
Yeah, I would say landing this job definitely, you know, boosted confidence and made me feel like I'm doing something bigger than what I have done. And that is a great feeling. And I feel like that's what I've kind of been working at for a while now. So it's good to kind of feel like I can, I don't want to say coast because I don't love that word, but just kind of like, you know, accept that I'm doing this and that it's great and kind of let that sink in before I worry or think about anything else too much. I would say that definitely helped me feel this way as of right now.
Okay. That, yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
Let me see here. Sorry. What, oh yeah, we're trying to, this doesn't have to be the last question, but we can do it if needed. Is there a question you'd like, people to consider or think about or give you direct feedback on? So if you think of like question of the day, or here's a thing that I've been trying to figure out, what's on your mind there?
Oh, that's interesting. Ooh, I don't know if I can think of something quickly.
No worries. No worries at all.
I guess the first thing that I would love, you know, people to, that I would love to hear people's answers on is just what makes them feel content or happy in everyday life.
Yeah.
But also what keeps them just feeling like they're on the right track, or what keeps you motivated to keep doing what you're doing?
Oh, man, that's a good question.
Yeah. I feel like there's just so many answers for that, and I would love to hear other people's answers.
That'd be awesome. Where can people find you?
People can find me on Facebook, or Instagram. I'm, Connie P, Conneep.
Yeah. Awesome. That'll be fun. It's been cool seeing some of your work in that space. I really like. Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's cool that we can use the internet and do these things.
I know. Technology.
And thanks for, this is my first test ever doing a long range recording, so.
Oh, I love it. I hope it works out.
Me too. Thank you.
Fingers crossed.
Yes. Well, thank you a ton.
Of course. Thank you again for having me.
Well, everyone, thank you for taking that journey with us. Connie, thank you so much. Always good to talk to you. And then, folks, I now have the option of interviewing remotely, which is super cool. Obviously, in my listen back, the audio could get a little bit better, and I think there's a way to do it. So I'll be working on that. But in the meantime, if there's anybody around on this old planet that you think would be a good fit for the podcast, send me a group message. Introduce them, and I'll do all the intro and explaining. But yeah, just DM Instagram group or Facebook messages or texting. That'd be great. I'd love to meet some of your people who are doing new things, just starting in on their process of building or becoming or making the thing that they want to build, become, or make. Okay. Reach out to Connie, let her know the answer to that question. I love that question of what keeps you on that motivated path. I want to hear those answers, so maybe if you do it somewhere public and tag, that'd be cool. Okay, have a great week, everyone. Later.